Well,
it's been good to be here. I'm completely satisfied with the way everything went so far. We could go home as far as I'm concerned, but maybe someone will be blessed by what I'm going to speak about. I searched and dug for a title. The best I could come up with is The Light of the World. What do you think of, what's your first thought when you think of the light of the world? Jesus? Anybody else go in a little different direction? The sun? That's even one I hadn't thought of. But very good. We'll continue on. John 5, Jesus said, and this was during the miracle when he was healing the man that was blind from birth. He said this, "When I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And in John 8:12, Jesus was debating with the Jews, and there in that verse he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's a little bit of a transition there, which takes me in the direction that I've chosen to go with this. Our text will be the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. And I'll be reading it from the NIV. Verses 1 and 2 of the Sermon on the Mount, somewhat of an introduction, we read this. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." Now we're going to jump forward to verses 13 to 16, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I've been accused many times of liking salt too much. So apparently too much salt isn't good for me, from what I've been told. But if I salted popcorn, I love popcorn too. Now, if I salted popcorn and I didn't taste the salt, I would throw it all away. The salt, the popcorn, everything. Because it just wouldn't be any good. But we're going to be looking more at the light of the world here. Verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Now this kind of fits together pretty well with with devotions, and especially the song that Scott led after the devotions there. Jesus calls us to, we are his disciples, I am one in you. Jesus calls us to be light of the world. We will be a light one way or another. There are those that are always looking to us, at us. Most of the time it's our children. A lot of the time it's others' children. But we are being a witness, a light, one way or another, and it is important to remember that and to do the best that we can to portray and reflect the light, the true light of the world, Jesus. So what fuels or what makes our light? What affects our light that others see? Now we'll back up and read the verses that we skipped over there, verses 3 to 12. The Beatitudes, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The pursuit of the wisdom of God and the virtue of humility is very important and will have an important effect on the light that we will display to the world. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those that go through deep struggles. We heard of one present day, the Miller family in Iowa. Reuben and Sally here, Jesse and Mildred and Ansley. If we can, through that mourning and through those tough times, continue to shine the light of Jesus, that is a powerful, powerful light to the world. And I'm sure it's difficult. I know it's difficult. But with God's grace, we can be that witness, that light that we should be. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. One who pursues understanding and virtue of patience is a powerful light to the world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who seek to be sinless are those who pursue righteousness. Again, powerful fuel for our light to the world in pointing men and women to Jesus. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." The idea of radical forgiveness came apart from somebody's description of what he thought blessed are the merciful. A radical forgiveness. Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The art of living one's life genuinely in detachment from self and in love. That will be a nice, bright light to the world, pointing men and women to Jesus. Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." No, I said that. Moving on, the peacemakers, yes. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Striving for peace in a peaceless world. It's no secret that the world really knows no peace because they don't know Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, striving for peace in a peaceless world. He goes on, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11, the same thought. "Blessed are you when people insult you persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If we can endure the ridicule, endure the persecution, endure the things that are unpleasant, and still praise God, still lift up the name of Jesus, we are the light of the world. Now, as I said, every one of us, to some degree or another, will portray light. It's up to us, by God's grace, to portray the light that He desires for us to portray. And since you didn't want to share all that much in sharing time, you're going to go home early. How about that? Now we're going to transition to a person whose light shines on and lives on and on and on today through song, through writing of songs. If you look through either one of our song books, you will find quite a few songs that were written by Philip Paul Bliss. And I remember, I think it might have been just in leading songs one morning, I shared just a little bit about Philip Paul Bliss. But this is going to be a little bit more, and a little bit more pointed. Philip Paul Bliss was a man that lived from 1838 to 1876, only 38 years. I tried to look for the number of songs. I thought I read somewhere it was around 30 hymns or so that he may have written, but I couldn't find that. I'm not sure if I'm confusing that with somebody else, but he is considered the second most famous author of hymns. He was born July 9th in 1838 in Clearfield County, Pennsylvania, which is kind of the northwestern Pennsylvania. He died on December 29th, 1876 in Ashtabula, Ohio. But as someone said, the most important is what happened between the dashes, right? He wrote a song, which we'll be singing in closing, for our closing song, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." And the story behind that song, let me just read. No, I'll come back to that, I think. Philip P. Bliss, a leading gospel songwriter of the 19th century, often received the inspiration for a hymn while listening to a message during a church service. Once an idea struck his alert mind, he worked rapidly, usually completing both the text and the music in one sitting. One day, while traveling with D.L. Moody as the musician for an evangelistic campaign, Bliss was impressed by an illustration used by Mr. Moody for a message. Moody often told this moving story of a violent storm on Lake Erie. On a dark, stormy evening, when the waves rolled like mountains and not a star was to be seen, a boat, rocking and plunging, neared the Cleveland Harbor. "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" asked the captain, seeing only light from a lighthouse. "Quite sure," replied the pilot. "Well, where are the lower lights?" "Gone out, sir." "Well, can you make the harbor?" "Well, we must, or perish, sir." With a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel. But alas, in the darkness, he missed the channel. And with a crash upon the rock, the boat was slivered and many a life lost in a watery grave. Brethren, concluded Mr. Moody, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning. Let the lower lights be burning was the song that Philip Paul Bliss composed and wrote upon hearing that message one evening. It first appeared in Bliss's earliest songbook called The Charm in 1871, and later in the well-known collection Gospel Hymns published by Sankey and Bliss in that same year. As I said, he was born in Clearfield County, Pennsylvania on July 9, 1838. His youthful days were spent on a farm or in a lumber camp where he experienced severe poverty. At an early age, young Bliss displayed unusual talent and interest in sacred music. Although he never received a formal training in music, his self-study made him a knowledgeable and proficient musician. At the age of 25, Bliss sent a letter and a copy of his first music manuscript to Dr. George Root, wondering if he could sell his song to the Root and Cady Music Company, which was a leading music publishing house, in exchange for a flute. Root recognized the talent of this young man and immediately encouraged him with a new flute. The next year, Bliss moved with his family from Pennsylvania to Chicago and became actively involved in the Root and Cady Company and their representative in conducting music conventions and training institutes throughout the Midwest. During this time, Bliss's abilities as a gospel singer, song leader, and writer became increasingly recognized. Bliss first met D.L. Moody in Chicago during the summer of 1869 and began singing frequently in Moody's evangelistic meetings. The effectiveness of Bliss's singing in these services intensified Moody's conviction of the importance of music in an evangelistic ministry. Although Moody himself was not a singer, he has left the following account regarding his attitude about music. Moody said, "I feel sure that the great majority of people do like singing. It helps to build up an audience, even if you preach a dry sermon." So, maybe our singing will cover my dry sermon. There is more said in the Bible about praise than prayer. And music and song have not only accompanied all scriptural revivals, but are an essential in deepening spiritual life. Singing does at least as much as preaching to impress the Word of God upon people's minds. Ever since God first called me, the importance of praise expressed in song has grown upon me. Philip Bliss continued to be a prolific composer of gospel hymns until the time of the tragic train accident causing his untimely death at the age of 38. Bliss and his wife died in a tragic train wreck caused by a bridge collapse. He survived the initial impact, but he went back into the flames in an unsuccessful attempt to rescue his wife. His light is with us today in many songs, but again, simply pointing us to Jesus. I don't know if there's going to be a famous songwriter in this group or not, but it doesn't matter. What does matter is that we do our best to be the light, the type of light that God desires us to be. I was going to open with a quote, and apparently I can't follow my notes. The quote has been repeated many times over the years. It's obvious by its composition that it is probably several hundred years old. It goes like this: we ought so to live Christ as to compel others to think about Christ. That is an example of the light of the world. We ought so to live Christ as to compel others to think about Christ. That hymn, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," I think, is it 642? We'll be singing that here in just a minute or two. 642 in the Faith and Praise, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." The words go like this: brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. The second verse: dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, verse 3. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to reach the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. And the chorus is, let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. So again, we will be some kind of light to the world. The world is watching. May we be the light, may we be exactly the light that Jesus wants us to be. A light that shines, or that people see, that draws them to Jesus. As it said in the Beatitudes there about the light, verse again, we'll close with verse 14 and 14 through 16 again. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. One could almost say it's saying to make a scene and be seen. But that's not the message. The message is, Don't be ashamed. It is your good deeds. It is the good things we do for God that draws others to God. You are the light of the world. Let's stand. Stand for prayer, and then we'll sing that song and be dismissed. Again, it's 642 in the Faith and Praise. Let's pray. God, you have called each and every one of us to a life of service for you. God, help us to be the light that you desire us to be. Help us to be the people that when others do see us, they are immediately drawn to you. Not the things that we do, the things that we say necessarily, but that we would point them, draw them to you. For you have said that when you are lifted up, you will draw all men to yourself. So God, help us as we rub shoulders from day to day, that we would be the testimony, the witness that you want us to be. We pray that you would continue to be near each person here, those that are sick, those that are struggling, those that have extra burdens to bear. Lord, help us to help each other as we journey through life. God, help us to help each other, and that someday we can all be united with you in glory forever. That is our prayer. That is our desire. We ask that you go with us now. Keep us safe. Again, bless each person here. We pray this in your name. Amen.